The Work of the Betrayer, Chapter 79. A troop of soldiers hurriedly leave the city of Jerusalem. The many footsteps thud dully upon the hard ground, as momentarily this hollow sound disturbs the stillness of the night. The swords of the Roman soldiers jingle softly. If we look closely, and we see all these men are not Romans. No, some Jewish men are found among this troop. And these Jews are the servants of the Sanhedrin, servants of the chief priests and Pharisees. These Jewish servants are not permitted to carry swords. It was forbidden by the Romans. For this reason, they are armed with staves. Some of them carry torches and lamps in order to have light when necessary. The flames of these burning torches flare high. They quickly descend the hill and proceed toward the dark garden of Gethsemane. A Roman officer with a few chief priests and elders of the Jews lead this band. Why does this take place? Is danger threatening? Has war broken out? And does the enemy encamp close to the gates of Jerusalem? Why, no. At this time, peace prevails throughout the entire extensive Roman Empire. No, it is not for the reason of war. But what is the purpose of this march in the night? They have come to capture a dangerous man, a deceiver, a rebel. For this reason, they are armed so heavily. You see, they carry swords and staves for their own safety. Who can this deceiver be? Who is this rebel? Now, boys and girls, say who he is. This dangerous man is the Lord Jesus. At least, they think he is a dangerous person. A man walking before this band of soldiers leads the way. A treacherous grin wrinkles his lips. His eyes sparkle maliciously. This leader is Judas, one of the followers of this hated Nazarene. He sold his master for a scant 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. He is now on the way to capture the Lord Jesus. The Pharisees and scribes already rejoice with the thought that this hated seducer will soon be dragged along by them as a prisoner. Oh, as long as he does not escape at this last moment, as long as he does not flee, that would be a pity. All their trouble would be in vain. Really, they must fall upon him suddenly. They must take him by surprise. This would be best, for he would not have an opportunity to flee. And if it comes to fighting, they are strong enough. The Roman swords will put a quick and bloody end to any opposition. The Roman soldiers are accustomed to such things. They will ruthlessly beat down anyone who dares resist them. Earlier on this evening, as the Jewish rulers were calmly eating the Passover, and they were unexpectedly disturbed by Judas. With a malicious tremble in his voice, he informed them the opportune moment had come to get Jesus of Nazareth into their hands. At present, they have the greatest possibility of success. And they will not leave this opportunity pass by. Even if they are disturbed in their feast celebration, they will proceed. It must be done. As quickly as possible, a band is assembled. Undoubtedly, they have informed the Roman officer that Jesus was stirring up the people against the Romans. Perhaps they assured him a rebellion was threatening. For this reason, Roman soldiers are with these Jews. See them already approaching the dark garden of Gethsemane. But they must not capture the wrong person. If that is done, it would be too bad. But how in the dark can they recognize the dangerous Nazarene? No fear. Their leader, their guide, Judas, will be sure no mistake is made. Everyone must watch him. He will give Jesus a kiss, a friendship kiss. By this kiss, everyone will know who they must take, because Judas, who knows Jesus so well, will not make a mistake. No, that is impossible. Everything is regulated punctually. When they come to the garden, they must disperse and be sure no escape is possible. Their hearts pound with anxiety, and the Roman soldiers hold their sharp weapons more securely. Will their efforts succeed? Whom seek ye? At once the band stands still in astonishment. They all stare in amazement at this man who walks forward from the dark shadows and the thick darkness which prevails under the heavy foliage roof of the massive olive trees, and now is clearly visible to all in the full moonlight. It is something they did not expect. Who is this man? Ah, probably some recognize him. However, the Roman soldiers surely did not know who he was. When they have recovered somewhat from their astonishment, they answer, Jesus of Nazareth. It is he whom they want. This expedition began for the express purpose of capturing him. Calmly and quietly, the same voice answers, I am he. With the hearing of these few words, they fall backward. And oh, just look, the entire multitude, consisting of the sturdy, brave Roman soldiers, the Jewish servants, the prominent members of the Sanhedrin, yes, and even Judas the betrayer, fall upon the ground. They all fall to the earth. They do not stumble in their haste to seize Jesus. No, neither do they fall forward, but they plunge backward to the ground. It is as if a giant's hand pushed them down. What was the cause of this? The Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, at this moment lets them feel his divine power. He shows them that if it were against his wishes, they never could take him a prisoner. Of what use were their swords and staves now? Of no use whatsoever. As mischievous boys, they fall full length upon the ground. Oh, if Jesus had wanted, he could easily have fled, making good use of this unbounded confusion which took place at this time. At this moment, no one would think of seizing him. But Jesus does not flee. He remains in the same place and waits until they all stand up again. Were the soldiers and servants put to shame? After they have recovered, and the same calm voice rings out, Whom seek ye? Again, their answer resounds, Jesus of Nazareth. I have told you, I am he, the Lord says, and he continues, If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. With these words, the Savior points to his disciples who are standing nearby, watching all this with anxious, fearful faces. And then, oh, how mean, how false, Judas walks toward Jesus and kisses him. Hail, Master, he says in a friendly but hypocritical manner. Terrible, isn't it? How dare he do such a thing? Do the eyes of Jesus sparkle with indignation? Does he cast this treacherous hypocrite with one blow to the ground? This betrayer deserved this. Indeed, he did, and that perfectly. We would do it, wouldn't we? We would avenge ourselves because of so much meanness, so much treachery. But the Lord Jesus does not do so. He looks at his unfaithful disciples seriously as this gentle reproof resounds from his mouth. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Do you hear it? He still calls Judas a friend. The betrayer turns away. He has accomplished his devilish task. The entire band now knows assuredly this composed, quiet man who is standing before them is Jesus. They must have him. Quickly and boisterously they press forward with extended, eager, grasping hands. Lord, shall we smite with the sword? A few nervous and trembling voices suddenly ring out. Jesus' disciples, who up to now had watched all this in silence as if paralyzed with fright, come into action. They see the threatening danger in which their master is situated. They see the treacherous betrayer. A violent indignation overpowers them. Oh, now they fully understand what their master meant when he told them one of them would betray him. At once they understand it completely. But they will help the Lord Jesus. They will defend him. Quickly they come forward, and while they look at him questioningly, we hear them ask this question, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? One of them, Peter, waits for no answer. The sword which he carries, he pulls from its sheath and swings it blindly. Suddenly, a cry rends the night as one of the assailants grasps at his right ear with a painful gesture. This man's name is Malchus. He is the servant of the high priest. Peter struck him with his wild rotating sword. The right ear of Malchus is completely cut off and lies upon the ground. The blood oozes from the wound. Undoubtedly, some retreated because of this rough treatment, but the Roman soldiers are ready to overpower Peter. However, this is no longer necessary. With a few words, the Lord Jesus put an end to this conflict. He commands Peter to return the sword into its sheath. Peter obeys immediately. Bewildered, not understanding the purpose, he looks at his master. Yes, resentment rises in his heart. Instead of Jesus being thankful and helping him, he is commanded to cease. Thus, the privilege of defending Jesus is denied him. Resentfully, he withdraws. Calmness again has been restored. But Malchus will be maimed for life. He will be without his right ear. No, surely not, for look at what takes place. Jesus picks up the bleeding ear from the ground and he cures Malchus completely. Oh, children, how humiliating this is for the entire band. Here this despised Nazarene bestows a great benefit upon one of his enemies. Besides, Jesus, in one of his last miracles, manifests his omnipotence. Even this is an endearing admonishment to bring them to repentance. What went on in the heart of Malchus? We do not know. Did this make him consider what he was doing? God's word is silent about it. Jesus turns to the elders and chief priests of the Jews and asks with holy ridicule in his voice, Are ye come out as against a thief, and with swords and with staves to take me? It is as if he asks, it seems as if you are afraid of me. And really, for what reason? This is not the first time you see me, is it? Daily I was with you in the temple. I taught the multitude there. I preached there. Why didn't you take me at that time? Nowhere do we read that the chief priests gave an answer to this question. They could not do so, for what Jesus said was the truth. But the Lord Jesus added these words to it. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. He means, this is the hour of the devil. Satan spurs you on. The prince of darkness instigates you against me. Alas, these distinguished, prominent, pious rulers of the Jews do not realize they are instruments of the devil. The devil uses them to obtain his purpose, and they permit themselves to be used. However, they are fully responsible for their actions. They have been warned often enough. But aren't you also warned often? Are you not told time and again by God's servants about the only way of salvation? Doesn't the Lord bestow upon you much labor of love? It surely will be terrible if you do not take heed to this great salvation, if you despise this precious day of grace. However, even though all these things happened, the soldiers do not see their error. On the contrary, they thrust upon the Savior and seize him. No, not exactly. Jesus permits himself to be seized. Voluntarily, he gives himself over to this band. He permits himself to be bound. It could be and that he put out his hands. As a lamb, he permits himself to be taken captive by them. Behold, bound and shackled, as if he is the greatest criminal, as if he is a thief or murderer, they take him along. This is a great humiliation for Jesus. What about the disciples? Where are they? His disciples? They are offended. They greatly resent the action of their master in permitting himself to be captured so easily. They also resent it of their master that he commanded Peter to return his sword into the scabbard. They are offended with the actions of Jesus. It seems as if Jesus wants it this way. If that is so, he must know for himself. They can do nothing about it. And, resentfully, they flee. They all forsake him. It is already being fulfilled what the Lord Jesus had foretold a few hours ago. Didn't he say at that time, and they all would be offended because of him? And they would not believe him. But it is already happening. Not one among them understands why Jesus permits himself to be led away. Not one of them understands that Jesus must go into death to deliver them from eternal destruction. How great is the love of the Lord Jesus for his people? Here the prophecy of Zechariah is being fulfilled, and where he says, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. The Lord Jesus is meant by the shepherd, and the disciples are meant by the sheep. The shepherd is smitten, is captured, and the disciples are scattered. Do you see all things are being fulfilled, word for word? The band hastily returns to Jerusalem. The purpose of their march has been accomplished. They have him. The hated Nazarene is in their power. They didn't need their swords and staves. No one could surmise it would be so easy. Judas is also in their midst. Well, well, he has avenged himself, and besides, he has earned a sum of money. The chief priests grin. They have their desire. Finally, finally, they have Jesus in their power. They are fools. They know not all this had to happen. They do not realize that God accomplishes his counsel.